South Africa, as you may or may not know, has a rather interesting position on the war in Ukraine, opting not to call it a war, saying that the country would prefer to stay neutral. What is your message to South Africans? And I must say, the position of the South African government isn't, the sentiment isn't shared by all South Africans by any means. What is your message to South Africans who think South Africa shouldn't be sitting on the fence? Is there room for neutrality in what is definitely a war?
I cannot understand how one can stay neutral if it's the war of the world and anti-world, if it's the war of humanity and anti-humanity. I think by trying to stay neutral, and I think that, by the way, South Africa doesn't stay neutral because it didn't vote even for the basic resolution of the UN General Assembly that requested Russians to immediately withdraw from our territory. So that's not even neutral. That is taking a side of, unfortunately, of aggressor and of a brutal power that is just ruining everything around itself. So staying neutral between evil is good. That means that South African government is supporting evil today. And that, for us, it's difficult to grasp. It's, I think, rather impossible to grasp. I think also part of the problem is also some of the propaganda machinery that has reached out also and sucked in to South Africa. And I would love to be able to get our truth across. Maybe that could change sober up those minds that think that you can stay neutral when kids, like babies, toddlers, are being raped in front of the eyes of their parents, and their parents are tied up so that they cannot respond and cannot do anything. When elderly people are being raped, when people are being tied and then killed in the head just because they are Ukrainian, just because they are they want to live in their own country and have democracy thriving in the country, when your homes are being destroyed just to the ground, when you have to flee. We have more than 5 million Ukrainians who have already left the country temporarily, I hope, as refugees, and that we will regain our territories and regain our possibility for them to come back. But also, there are almost 9 million Ukrainians internally displaced. So this is a huge number of souls, of fates, of families. I think it's impossible to shy away from this war. And even here, sometimes people are calling it either conflict or crisis. And I do feel the responsibility to jump in immediately to say that it's important to call a spade, that it's important to clearly terminology matters when you are talking about those atrocities that Russia has brought on our land, and that have not been justified by anything besides Russian irrational desire to regain yet another territory. If someone looks at the map, probably, one sees that Russia occupies one-fifth of the ground territory of the whole world, basically, of the whole globe. And 85% of the lands are not mastered there in Russian Federation. So it's about, not about even land, not about the people. It's about trying to come to terms with their sick understanding of the history, where they believe that Ukrainians do not exist. I am the living example of Ukrainian that does exist, and there are plenty of us. And we have been fighting this war for centuries. You have to understand, it didn't come now. In 30s of 20th century, Russian Federation, not as a Russian Federation, but a Soviet machinery, was so angry with Ukrainians who had this free spirit that they organized a artificial famine on our territory. And about 10 million Ukrainians then from artificial famine in the center of Europe during the Soviet times died of hunger on the most fertile land in the whole European continent, even in the world. And before that, we had, when we were, when Russia conquered us as a Russian Empire, they were forbidding our language, they were forbidding our schooling, they were forbidding our, again, our culture and so on. So it has, and I'm talking about 19th century, for example. So it has been going on for centuries, and they have not given up on this because we always had this free spirit. And we believe that we always belonged also to the you know kind of democratic civilizational space, and that's why we are continuing to fight, and we will till we breathe.
It's a war on the ground. I'm not going to call it a conflict. It's a war on the ground, but it's also an information war happening on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube. How important is it to win the information war? And you will confirm there is a war going on in the information space.
Yes, unfortunately, but we have to understand that this information war didn't start on the 24th of February. Russia has been spreading its metastasis. I don't know whether it's the word in English as well, as a cancer through different information channels, also occupying those new possibilities like social networks. And unfortunately, there was little understanding in the world how dangerous it is. And I remember that when in 2017, we in Ukraine, as a Ukrainian government then, I did serve as a deputy prime minister for European and Euro-Atlantic integration, that when we were closing Russian social networks on the territory of Ukraine, we've been approached by so many European colleagues of ours. They would line up as ambassadors to my office saying, you are attacking freedom of speech. So we had to show all this numerous examples and facts how Russians have been actually doing subversive activities through those networks on the territory of Ukraine. So we kind of open up all the intelligence we had and so on. But that was a very difficult time to kind of prove that what we were up against. Then later you had Russians mingling in the German elections, in French elections, in American elections, and finally the world, the free world, has understood that yes, Russia is misusing even all those instruments that have been kind of new and open and free and so on. So unfortunately it took time to understand that the war is ongoing there for minds of people, because Russia has been preparing this for a long time. And I think that we still do not have a very efficient altogether, very efficient blockages for Russian influence. Some of the things have been done already, like at least on the like in the those countries like European Union countries in like in the US, in Canada, in Australia, for example, that. Like Russia Today and Sputnik TV have been...
RT has been blocked in South Africa.
At least something, but that's not enough because Russian state TV is still available through all the satellite imagery. Russia is also working through bribed analytical think tank, some of the bribed politicians, some of the bribed analysts, even journalists, and also using all these social networks that we've started to talk about from. And so all of this means that we still did not cut all this
Tentacles?
Tentacles. Yeah, that was the word I was looking for. Yes, tentacles that Russia has been spreading around around the world. But that is something to do because we will be poisoned by that. And we will not even realize when suddenly in those countries that want to be neutral today, Russia will decide to show its presence by, for example, turning people against the government on something unexpectedly for the government, if the government misbehaves, quote and unquote, in some of the relationship that they have with Russian Federation.
Well, I wish you all the best. Thank you so much for your time, man.
Thank you.